Almighty God, we give you thanks and praise for this beautiful summer evening and our scripture readings, which remind us of the importance of finding quiet time to just come and spend time with you and reflect on all the things that are going on in our lives, often difficult things, but often joyful things. So we just ask you to help us to put into action this invitation more in our own daily lives and to experience the peace that surpasses all understanding. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. So this is the last weekend I want to do some teaching about the Eucharist, and I thought the readings tonight lent themselves very well to the beautiful gift that we have in our Catholic Church of Adoration. And I kind of started this whole series by sharing with you about the Pentecost Vigil and how some people experienced some profound healing while we were having adoration for a period of 3 hours, and then some specific prayers for that towards the end of the evening. And growing up as a child, I didn't have a lot of experience with adoration. You know, it was one of those things that kind of fell away with Vatican II and kind of some of the turmoil as the council was trying to be implemented, some of the things they were doing. And I really got into that more so in college after the Life in the Spirit Seminar and the Baptism in the Holy Spirit. And I'll never forget the day I received the key to the church. It wasn't just for that, it was because I was doing music ministry and had to bring my 50-pound keyboard in and out of the church all the time at different hours. But I could go there anytime I wanted to and just spend some time in front of the Blessed Sacrament. They had a tape player, remember those? Cassette, not 8-track, I'm not that old. and I would put some praise and worship tapes in there, John Michael Talbot, the old ones that he used to do, and just sit there for hours and listen, and I just loved it. I just felt such a privilege that I had access to go into the church anytime and spend time in adoration. And we had quite a few wonderful times during our prayer group too of Eucharistic adoration and so forth. So I have three things I'd like to do to kind of promote this wonderful gift and share with you what it is and some of the fruits of it. And the first is that invitation that I started the first reading with. Come away and find some rest for yourself. Let's go to a deserted place. And if we look at our society, we just are constantly stimulated and doing things. And you know, Psalm 46 says, be still and know that I am God. It's really hard to do because we're just so used to being plugged in. I know when I leave my phone upstairs, I'm constantly going like this during the day, because I'm so used to checking all my messages and texts and everything. And that's why when I went to Africa, I was so well rested. There's no electricity. You wake up with the roosters, you go to bed when the sun goes down, and no text to answer and things dinging and buzzing on your body. It was just great. And then I came back to the jungle after that. But I remember just thinking about how our American lifestyle isn't necessarily the healthiest in the world, you know, and that's why we have a lot of stress and heart attacks and a lot of health problems, I think, is because we don't honor this invitation to be more balanced and to have quiet time with the Lord. So we're all invited to do that. And you start small, you know. The more, like St. Teresa of Lisieux said, the more you pray, the more you want to pray. You start to experience the consolation and the activity of the Holy Spirit, and you begin to see that the fruit of prayer is peace. And so I know in my own life, like the people followed the disciples and Jesus and got there, and they're trying to get away from them. If I've not been praying, I would turn around and start yelling at them, what are you doing? I'm trying to get away from you people. But if I'm in my prayer life is good and well, then I can step back and be kind and not come unglued. So I can always tell by the way I react to things whether I'm getting enough time in prayer or not. But we're all invited to do that. And the second reading from Ephesians, continuing this wonderful reflection about how we're predestined for this life in Christ, talks about how we have access to the Father. And so all of us have access to the throne of God. I love Psalm 5. You've heard me quote that before. I, through the greatness of your love, have access to your house. And I usually read that during the four-week cycle in the breviary and sitting in front of the tabernacle. It just makes me get goosebumps, kind of. I, through the greatness of your love, have access to your house. And in the old days, in the Old Testament, only the high priest could go into the tabernacle of the Holy of Holies once a year on Yom Kippur for the Day of Atonement. And they had to do all kinds of prayers, and it was kind of a fearful thing. Remember what happened to Zechariah when he went in? The angel spoke to him and he didn't believe and he was silenced for a few months. Probably Elizabeth's like, amen. Just kidding. But we all have access now. God has just opened the door. And that's the ironic thing is that very few people spend time with him, even though he's accessible. You know, it's hard to get people to come to adoration. I think it's because they haven't had the experience or they don't understand the value of it. So when we come, this is the second point, the Lord will refresh us as we spend time with him. And some days, you know, he's real talkative and he says things or points you out certain scripture passages that are really helpful for things that are going on in your life. Other days, you fall asleep. But it's nice just to have a disciplined hour each day to spend with him and say, do you have anything for me today? Maybe 10 minutes later, depending on how I slept. But to honor that time, and I remember Cardinal Bernardino in the book, The Gift of Peace, he said when he was a younger priest, he realized that he wasn't praying enough. He was too busy being efficient and doing business things. So he said, I'm going to give you an hour each day, and even if I'm asleep, it's your hour to watch me sleep. But I'm going to be dedicated to spending at least an hour in adoration each day, and he did that from that point on. So he will refresh us, and I don't know if you remember the door prophecy I shared with you years ago, a few years ago, but it happened like in 2010, but I really believe that was a reference to adoration. There's special doors that are open for people who believe, and you can come and go and receive graces and have God refresh you and give you discernment and guidance for your life, but only those who believe can come, and these doors are open now. And when I first heard that, I just immediately saw this connection to adoration in my mind. I'm not sure, you know, because it was a prophecy or word of knowledge that was given in a prayer group. So the gospel reading reminds us of that, that the Lord wants to teach us the importance of spending time with him in prayer. He cares about us, you know. He's not the kind of shepherd, like the first reading said, that takes advantage of the sheep. And Jeremiah was chewing out the shepherds because they were not thinking of the people and their plight and their problems. And if you want a good priest, you know, make sure that you're asking them, do you have a good prayer life? Somebody came out after Mass one Sunday and said, you know, a priest who doesn't pray is not even a moving target. I'm like, why did he say that to me? Am I not praying enough? Or, you know, but he's right. If you don't pray, what do you have to offer people? Just yourself. But in prayer, we get scripture, we get insights into the things in our lives, our parishes, our families, our relationships, and so forth. So you will begin to see fruits. And I really think we're in a time right now where we really need people to be more prayerful and discerning. There's so much going on now, so much cause for fear as we watch the news and, you know, dissent in different countries and things happening, the fires, the flooding in Europe and so forth. There's just a lot going on. And when we come to the Lord in prayer, he will remind us that I am the Lord your God, I am with you, and I will never abandon you. If you spend time with me, I will show you how I want you to be part of my kingdom and what I want you to do for me. And you get specific directions, you know. You start honing in more and focusing, and that little small voice will start speaking to you and guiding us through the challenging times that we face ahead. So just a practical thing, we do have a door over here that has a code and a key box. So if you ever want to stop by any time of the day, any time of the night, night's probably a little more dangerous around here. You've seen our nice graffiti collection on the walls over here and stuff. But during the daytime, there's a code. You can email me. I'll give it to you. I'm not going to announce it publicly for everyone in the world to know right now. But it's a 4-digit code, and you can come by any time you want. And I was so happy the other night, I gave it to some guy from El Salvador who lives here. And I walked in to do a special Mass on Monday night for someone, and he was sitting and kneeling in front of the tabernacle. I'm like, hey, you took my advice. And he said, yes, thank you so much for giving me that code. So now I can stop by any time and spend some quiet time with the Lord. So you can call the office or email me, but we want to make that experience and opportunity available to all of you, because I really think you'll be blessed. Amen.